We are living in a strange, strange world. Amen? Amen? If you've been doing any shopping, watching commercials, listening to stuff, you are now entering a world where computers are reigning and ruling. Okay, now, you can get Echo, Siri, Alexa, Google Home. You can get this little thing that sits on a table and it knows you. It knows what you like to watch on TV. It knows the stations of radio, the music, the styles. It knows the food that's in your refrigerator and will tell you when you need milk. It knows everything about your closet and what kind of clothes you got. It knows whether you need to do the laundry or not. It knows whether there's something in the oven or not. It knows whether or not your neighbors are on vacation. I mean, it knows everything, okay? It knows whether you can just sit there in your recliner and Echo or Siri can tell you everything about you because it knows you. Your favorite takeout restaurant. It knows when you're hungry and it'll just show up at the door. It's just awesome. I might be exaggerating just a little bit. As I share that, I want you to understand that God knows you. And in that special relationship that he wants to have with his children, he wants to have a communication between back and forth in such a way where he knows you completely and fully, but now watch this, he wants you to know him. And if we have this understanding of Christianity, that it's about a relationship, not a religion, and we understand it's about him knowing me and me knowing him, in this relationship between the child and the father, there can be great power in that communication. There can be great power in that conversation. Now, when you pray in the name of Jesus, and you heard that verse this morning, please do not hear that you get whatever you want because you have this magic formula you've tacked on to the end of your prayer. That is not what Jesus is teaching, okay? But what he is teaching is that when we come to the God the Father in the name of Jesus, there is great power. If you've lost power in your prayer life, this is the message you need to meditate on, the scripture you need to soak in today. Now, the first thing we're going to understand about where this power comes from, first of all, Jesus tells them about something about himself. And he says, if you can look at my walk, and you will see that I have an absolute consistent relationship with my Heavenly Father. If you want to know God the Father, he says to his disciples, look at me. Look at verse 7. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. So he says, this is what you need to understand. If you want to connect with God the Father, and you want to get on his page, you want to be in sync with him, you need to see my life. He says, I have lived in front of you, God the Father. And if you understand how Jesus lived, you will get to know God the Father. Now let's talk about knowing God for a moment. The original language has several words that we find in our English Bible, the word know. This word is a very important word for you to realize. It is a kenosko, which means to know by personal experience. So what Jesus is saying to us is he wants us to know the Father. He doesn't want us to know about him. He doesn't want us to know about him in knowledge and facts. And yeah, I know about God. Jesus came to this earth so we would personally, by experience, know him. The Bible says in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him. And it uses the same word, kenosko. If you are trying to have a relationship with God and you've got him way out there and you're here and I know he's way out there somewhere, that is not biblical Christianity. Biblical Christianity is that we would know him by personal experience. My prayer for you this morning is that you would know my Jesus and you would know him personally in your hearts. And when you get to know Jesus, what you're going to get to know is you're going to get to know that he is perfectly displaying the way he lived who God the Father is. Verse 8, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and it is enough for us. So Philip is saying, Jesus, I want to know God. I want to know God the Father. You talk about him all the time. If you would just show us him, we would get to know him too. And Philip is clueless, like many of us. What was right in front of him, Jesus says in verse 9, "Have I been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip?" Do you know it's possible, maybe there's someone in this room, it's possible to be exposed to Christianity all your life and not know him personally. Maybe you're even here today because of Thanksgiving and relatives have invited you and it's kind of a tack on. You came to Thanksgiving, we fed you, now you have to come to church. I don't know, but here you are. What a deal. And I want to tell you, I'm glad you're here. Church is good, but a relationship with Jesus is so much better. And our prayer for you today is that you would come to know him. Now, when you spend a lot of time with someone, you get to know them. If you go to a summer camp and spend a whole week with kids, you get to know those kids. If you go on a retreat with women or men and you spend an extra amount of time with them, you get to know them. We just got back from a mission trip to Kenya, and with those people, we got to know. You spend a lot of time on an airport and airplanes and in a close connection, and now we have become great friends because we have caught to know them. Now, how do we get to know them? Because we watch them in real life. Ron Underhill and Gail and Pastor Brian got back safely on Thanksgiving Day from the Philippines. Amen. And, you know, Ron had a heart attack in the Philippines. He had a stent put on both sides, 100% blockage, 90% blockage. God protected him. God answered prayers. And I want to tell you, we got a letter from our missionary, Brent Ralston, and said how much spending time with Brian on the mission trip, how much we should be thankful for what a great servant that Brian was to help Ron through this whole process. And the more time they spent together, the more they got to know each other and how much that indeed our missionaries appreciated Pastor Brian. They appreciated Ron's faith and Gail's faith. And I want to tell you, the more you spend time with someone, the more you get to know them. So if you're here this morning and you say, I don't know God, I don't know how to have a relationship with God, I want to tell you, get to know the walk of Jesus, okay? Get to know Jesus. And when you get to know Jesus, you're going to get to know God the Father. And when you get to know God the Father, your prayer life becomes amazing, okay? Because it's built on a relationship of knowledge. Philippians 3, 7, and 8 says, whatever I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I want to tell you, you want power in your prayer, you get to know Jesus. And you get to know his walk. You get to know what mattered to him. You get to know how he lived and what he lived for. So he says to the disciples, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? So when you look at Jesus, you're going to see the attributes of God the Father in his walk, in his life. You're going to see his compassion. By the way, that's the Father's compassion. You're going to see, if you look closely at the life of Jesus, the wisdom of the Heavenly Father. You're going to see the love of the Heavenly Father, as Jesus loved the needy, as he loved the least of these, as he loved the children. That was God the Father's love, and Jesus was reflecting that love to us. When you see his stance on truth, that's the truth of God the Father that he's reflecting to us. So when you pray, and you pray the walk of Jesus, you pray the attributes of God has Jesus lived them out, your prayer becomes powerful. John Hyde, great preacher and prayer warrior, it was said of him, he prayed as if God were at his elbow. In other words, he prayed with such a close connection and knowledge of God that his prayers reflected who God was. If your prayer has lacked power, the possibility is you have missed the walk of Jesus in your prayer life. The Bible says, listen closely, Psalm 66, 18, if I cherish iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. So if you come to God and you go, God, in the name of Jesus, give me what I want. And God the Father says, well, I love that name, but your prayer doesn't sound like Jesus. It doesn't sound like the walk of Jesus. I'm not hearing compassion. I'm not hearing wisdom. I'm not hearing truth. I'm not hearing love. I'm not hearing kindness. I'm not hearing grace. And if you came in the name of Jesus, you would come with that walk, all right? So listen closely. Prayer is powerful when we are living our prayers. Now, I'm not saying you have to earn your place at the throne of God. What I'm saying, though, is if you have no intention of living or walking the walk, you just want stuff from God. He's going to say, I'm not listening today. But if you come to God and say, God, I want to walk with Jesus. I want to live for Jesus. I want my life to be what he would live in me and through me. There is great power in prayer. Now, the question is, when you're praying, do you know Jesus well enough where you could pray like Jesus would pray? Now, if you're on an airplane for a long time, like on a mission trip, my wife was going to go to sleep for a while. By the way, she can sleep anywhere. I can sleep nowhere, so there's a kind of a conflict there. So she's praying, and she's sleeping, excuse me. But before she went to sleep, she said, if they come by to offer food, you know what I want. So when you've been married 44 years, you know what your spouse wants, okay? And so you just kind of order for them. And by the way, my wife loves a cup of sugar with a little bit of coffee, okay? So I know that, okay? And if they're offering couscous, she will wake up anytime, day or night. I know that about her. When you pray, do you know Jesus well enough, his walk, that you could pray as he would pray? Okay? Second thing, what does this mean? How do you get power in prayer? The words will be consistent with the prayer of what Jesus would say. So John 14:10, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? Okay, so we have to have an understanding. We call this theologically the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, one God in three persons. And so when you see Jesus, you see God the Father. When you see the work of the Holy Spirit, you see the work of God the Father. You see the three of them in unity together. And then he says, the words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Did you know that the Father, this is very powerful. The Father lived inside of the Son. Did you see that? That there was such a oneness of presence that God the Father wasn't just like way out there somewhere in another galaxy far, far away. That the Father was actually living inside of him. This is an amazing principle of spirituality, that there was such a oneness between the two of them. It wasn't a distance, it was a oneness. John 3:34 says, for he whom God has sent utters the words of God. So you want powerful prayer, amen. You want powerful prayer, amen. Okay, here it goes. I'm going to give you the clue right now. Pray scripture. And when you pray the words of Jesus, there's power. Okay, now I'm not saying you can't come to God with the desires of your heart and your own words. I'm not saying you have to quote scripture every time you pray. But when we pray, our elders and pastors, when we pray for people, we have trained the team, the prayer team, to use God's word in the prayer. Okay, so you come forward and you need help with your family. What am I going to pray for? The Bible says, if anybody asks for wisdom, he will give it generously. Lord God, I pray for the wisdom of God right now. The Bible says when we trust on the Lord with all of our heart, we lean not on our own understanding, and all of our ways we acknowledge him, he will direct our paths. So when we pray God's word. Why? Because the Bible tells us that power comes in the words of Jesus himself. Okay, so if you haven't heard this before, well, let's just use it as an example. The Lord's Prayer. Okay. Now, by the way, the Lord's Prayer is not something just to recite to somehow have a ritual and feel better about yourself. Okay. The Lord's Prayer is a teaching prayer. Actually, it should be something we dig into and learn. What are the things that Jesus is trying to teach us about our relationship with God? So I've given you the Lord's Prayer on the screen, and I chose the King James Version on this one just because I grew up with it and I really like it, so here it goes. After this manner, therefore, pray, Jesus says. Oh, by the way, you can pray along with me. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. When you pray, I would encourage you to find a scripture. It doesn't have to be this scripture particularly. And then pray the scripture. Don't just pray the words, our Father which art in heaven, and then pause and say, Father in heaven, thank you for listening to me. What a great gift you've given to your children that we could come to your throne with boldness. Hallowed be your name. Thank you, God, for being so holy and high and lifted up. But you care about us. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Lord God, my prayer is that your kingdom would happen on this earth as it is in heaven. Lord, help me to see what that kingdom looks like this week with my family and with my job. Lord, I pray that your kingdom would be what people would see. Not me, but you, the king, he would be the one that people would see. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord God, you know my practical needs. There's some bills to pay and there's some things I got to do. Lord, just help me to do it with grace and with gentleness and with kindness and with wisdom today. Would you provide our needs? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lord, you know I got some problems with some people and I just really need, oh, wait a second. I need your forgiveness first because I'm probably the bigger problem. And then would you help me to forgive others as you've forgiven me? And then lead me not into temptation. Lord God, I know you want me to be holy and there's a lot of temptations here today. So would you just help me to follow your path of holiness this morning and this week and deliver us from evil. Thank you, Jesus. You're more powerful than Satan and I'm going to trust in your power today with whatever comes my way. And by the way, yours is the kingdom that I care about and I want to give you glory with everything I do. Okay, now that's a sampling of praying the words of Jesus. Make it personal, but use the Word of God as a platform of conversation. He's giving you what matters to him. He's giving you what's important to him. Now pray it. And when you pray the Word of God, there's power, okay? There is power when you pray. Why? Because it is his heart. It is his thoughts. It is what matters to him. And when you do something for your spouse, by the way, that matters to them, okay, so my wife loves mince pie. I tell you, I went to Walmart. There's no mince pie at Walmart. And I went to Costco. There's no mince pie at Costco. And so, sorry, no mince pie for you. And she has a friend that heard the request and made her homemade mince pie and brought it to her. God bless her. Isn't that great? When you know somebody's heart, then there's a response if you love that person. I want to tell you, God wants us to know his heart, and this is where it's found, right here. And when you pray over what matters to him, man, he loves that. He responds to that. The third thing you need to know about prayer is when you pray in the name of Jesus, you're going to be praying about the works of Jesus. Now, I want to tell you very clearly, you have no access to God unless you trust in the work of Jesus, okay? And his primary work you're trusting in is his death on the cross, his blood that he gave for you. He paid the price so that the door of heaven can be opened. You have access to God through the work of Jesus on the cross, all right? Everybody follow that? Okay, but now let's expand that thought a little bit. John 14:11 says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. So if I want to get in sync with God in prayer, Jesus is telling me that his works are what's in sync with God. So if I want to get in sync with God, I need to connect with the works of Jesus. John 10, 37 to 38, if I'm not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. So prayer is powerful in the name of Jesus. When we are praying about his work on earth. Now, remember what we just prayed, Matthew 7, 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus is teaching us how to pray. So when I come to God and say, God, let's talk about your work. Let's talk about your agenda for my life and the people around me in this world. And God's ear just perks right up. Yes, I love talking about my work. And I'll do anything, whatever it takes to see my work get done on this earth. Okay? Andrew Murray said it like this. Whoever wants to do the works of Jesus must pray in his name. Whoever prays in his name, listen closely, must work in his name. So if you are about your kingdom, and you come to God and say, help me out. God says, I'm not quite sure about that. And you come to God in the name of Jesus, which means you're going to be about the work of Jesus. Then there's great power in that prayer. He loves prayers when we are about his kingdom, when we are doing what he would want us to be doing. So last week, we finished collecting all the shoe boxes. Thank you, by the way, to Juanita and her hard work and her team. I don't know what the final number was. How many boxes did we get? I didn't hear it.
427.
427 from South Hills Church. Amen. That means 427. That's awesome. Thank you so much. And we prayed over those boxes. And why is that important? Is that important to the work of God on this earth? Yes, because he's told us that we should reach out to the poor. He's told us to reach out to children. He's told us to reach out to orphans. He's told us to reach out to those that have nothing. So we also, you look closely at the bulletin on the Christmas store that we're putting together. What an amazing idea. Pastor Brian and his team, this is going to change the church as far as outreach, because you're going to get the tags from the tree and you buy the gifts. Do not wrap them. You bring them and we set up a store, and the families that have need can come and purchase gifts for their own children at greatly reduced prices. Black Friday has nothing over our Christmas store. But then they can have an ownership of the gifts that they're buying for their kids, and they could be truthful to their kids. When the kids say, where did this come from? They can say, your mom or your dad, we bought that for you. That's powerful. So when we are about his kingdom, when we're praying about his kingdom to be done, when we're willing to actually do what he wants us to do, obey him, Lord God, help me to obey you. Would a parent be frustrated if the kid says, I'm trying to obey you, could you please help me? And the parent says, no, I don't care. No, the parent's going to go, man, I love you obeying me. I'll help you. By the way, I just want to say thank you to Pastor Jeff and our high school group. Last week, we had this huge project of getting all these chairs up and getting all these other chairs from that truck and then putting them all away. And I tell you, this year, Pastor Jeff, and he had about 50 high schoolers, and they were just working their tails off. I mean, that pleases God so much when we work together and serve him and willing to do whatever we can do. When you come to God and you say, I'm willing to be a servant, I mean, God answers that prayer. I had little Sammy from Pastor Matthew and Miranda's little Sammy. How old is he? 4? He came up to me. I'd like a chair, please. I go, huh? What do you want? I'd like a chair, please. What is he? What is this 4-year-old wanting to do? I'd like a chair, please. He wanted me to hand him this big, huge chair. He wanted to carry chairs. And I thought, there is no way that I'm going to say, hey, get lost, kid. I'm going to say, man, I love that attitude. You know, how can I help you serve Jesus? I'll help you. Here's a chair. Go for it. When you come to God in prayer and you say, God, help me. I want to work for you. I want to serve you. I want to be on your page. I want to see the kingdom of God on earth. I tell you, God loves that prayer. In the name of Jesus, it means I'm willing to serve you, whatever it takes. Now, one last thought here, and that is the will of Jesus. Now we're coming to his heart and his attitude. Verse 12, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. Okay, that's what we've been talking about. And then it says in John 6:38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So he says, as you get to know me, he's talking to his disciples, you're going to get to know my walk is going to be consistent with the Heavenly Father, and my words are going to be consistent with the Heavenly Father, and my works are going to be consistent with the Heavenly Father, and my will be consistent with the Father's will. So he says, greater works than these will he do because I'm going to the Father. So what he's telling us as his followers, come on, if you get in sync with what I have been doing on earth, if you do my walk, if you do my words, if you do my works, if you have my, in your will is God's will, you're going to see power greater than you've even seen Jesus himself do. Now, it's hard for us to grab onto, and it is not minimizing the work of Jesus on the cross, but what it's doing is saying there could be great power in your life and in the church. First of all, the quantity of impact, the scope of impact, and the diversity of impact. Okay, so when I started preaching 40-some years ago, I preached a sermon, and somebody missed it. I'm really sorry about that. Maybe don't miss church next week. You know, that's what I would say, you know. And then a few years went by, and somebody would miss a message, and I say, well, we have this thing called cassette tapes. You can buy one for $2, and you have to come to the church office because we didn't have them on that same moment. And then as time went on, we actually had a tape reproducer. We could give it to you maybe in the lobby after the sermon. And then we had something called CDs, and we produced those quite a bit. And now we have the internet, and now we have on your smartphone, you can get a church, South Hills Church app, and the multiplication of God's word now is huge, okay? Visual illustration. We went to Guatemala on a mission trip, and the farmers went down to the pond with their bucket and scooped the water and walked over to their farm and dumped it out. Walked back, and that's what they did all day long. They had a bucket process. Okay, how much farming can you do that way? Not a lot. And then you have something called irrigation, and all of a sudden, amazing, you've got all kinds of possibilities. So what Jesus is saying is, one life, one person, I was able to touch so many hundreds of people's lives, but when you understand the power of prayer, you're going to be able to touch thousands, millions of people through obedience in my name. You're going to see great things happen. So please understand that Jesus is wanting to work powerfully in us and through us. Listen to verse 13. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now remember, this is not about you. It's not about me getting what we want. So we can be happy. This is about the Father's glory. This is about the kingdom of God. Whatever you ask in my name, why? What does the word name mean? We just saw this right here. When you pray in the name of Jesus, you are relying on the walk of Jesus. I'm going to pray the things that Jesus would lived out. I'm going to live out what Jesus lived out. I'm going to pray the words of Jesus. I'm going to pray the kingdom works of Jesus. I'm going to pray the will of God to be done. It's not going to be my will. It's not going to be what I want. Okay. But he does give us this very broad word, whatever. So let me just pause and remind you that if you pray consistent with the character of Christ, consistent with the cause of Christ, consistent with the calling of Christ, he is wanting to work powerfully in you and through you. He wants to answer those kind of prayers. As Christ followers, nothing is impossible with Christ. The name of Christ, there is not one thing he cannot do. Nothing is off limits. Jesus is not a specialist where this is, I only do this. He's not, please don't get offended. He's not in a union where he's not going to cross the line and say, well, I'm a plumber, I won't. He does everything for us. Nothing is too little and nothing is too great. He has the ability to do amazing. Little boy had some new puppies. He says to his parents, I'm going to sell them for $10,000 each. He goes to the outside of the grocery store, puts the little sign up, $10,000 each. The parents said, that's not going to happen. He comes back and they ask him, how did you do? Well, I sold one for $10,000. Wow. Where's the money? Well, I got two cats that are worth $5,000 each. But in his heart and mind, the sky was the limit. And when you go to God in prayer, I want you to understand the sky is the limit. There is nothing that is beyond his capacity. So he says in verse 14, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. So now let's clarify 1 John 5:14. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. John 14:15 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And the word keep means to value or to live out in real life or to obey. So when you hear this, if you ask me anything in my name, there is a condition of obedience there. There is a condition that you are doing it according to his will. So let's give you an example. You go to McDonald's and you say, I'd like a large pizza, please. McDonald's workers will have a smile on their face and they'll say, we don't serve pizza, but you can have whatever is on our menu. Well, I wanted a cheese pizza. Well, you can have whatever is on our menu. So when you hear the promise from God's son, I will give you whatever you ask, what he is saying is, whatever is on God's menu, you can ask. Do you understand that? So if your prayer is not powerful, maybe you need to recheck God's menu. And when our prayers reflect, here's God's menu right here, the walk of Jesus, the words of Jesus, the works of Jesus, and the will of Jesus, watch this, there's power. And if you have lacked power in your prayer life, first of all, if you don't know Jesus, by the way, you just need to come to him and get to know him. But second, as Christ followers, he is offering us the power of heaven through the name of Jesus. Are you ready for that? Okay, I love Sidlow Baxter's story of a young boy that was sent to gather berries in a bucket. He brought it home, and then the dad said, now you can take one handful for yourself. Oh, man, that's awesome. The little boy hesitated and said, Dad, he's looking at his own little tiny hands, Dad, you give me the handful. When you come to God and you say, God, I come with humility and I come with surrender and I come with faith in your son, but I don't know how to pray. And I get sidetracked with my kingdom. And I get sidetracked with my stuff. And I get sidetracked with what I think is best. And I just want to come and receive what you have for me. I want to receive your will. I want to receive your work. I want to receive your word in my life. I want to receive the kind of life that you would have for me. And you bring your needs and requests to him, and then let him give you the handful. Because he is a good God that loves you very, very much. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we come with our needs. There are some great needs in this room. And Lord God, I thank you for your word that has taught us how to have power in prayer. We know we have fallen short. We come as little children. We come with our hands open to you to work powerfully in us and through us. Lord God, I pray for this church that we would be a church of power in prayer. I pray for the families that when husbands and wives pray over their kids, they would pray with power. I pray for the leaders of this church that when we pray with power. I pray that when we pray for this community, when we pray for this nation, we are praying with power because we are praying on your page what matters to you. And Lord God, we come in the name of Jesus Christ, our personal Lord and Savior, the one who gave his life on the cross and rose from the grave and has conquered Satan. We come in the power in the name of Jesus today. In his name we pray.